I told you a few minutes ago that we're going to have a prophetic word today, and so I'm going to follow through with that. And this isn't going to be a series of messages or any such thing. Recently, the Lord brought to me in a dream a message that I think has to do with us in the church. And so this message, primarily, this first part of the message is directed primarily to those in the church, those of us who call ourselves the body of Christ, those of us who have been a part of the body of Christ and a part of the fellowship. And I'm going to start off by reading here a scripture from Matthew 5. And I'm preparing you, brothers and sisters in the church, I'm preparing you for a time, and there will be a great persecution coming to America. And so I want to prepare you prophetically, and I want to prepare you. People have been saying, you might say offhandedly and casually, for many years that there's going to be persecution in the church, and yet we really didn't think it was really going to happen in America. We really didn't think that it would come to the point where American Christians would have to make a choice between serving God, serving their country, or serving their fellow man. We thought that we could do all of that, and of course America has been a great God-serving country and a great God-serving nation, and there's never been any conflict between the church and the fellowship and serving this nation. And yet I say, because of the dream that God showed me, that I think persecution is coming to the church, and I want to prepare us for that eventual day. In Matthew 5, Jesus says here in verse 10, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And so we are commanded, as persecution comes, as we know that persecution is on the horizon and the measures are coming down from Congress and they're coming from every state legislature, that will force you to make a decision as whether you want to be in the universal world religion or if you want to serve Jesus Christ. You will be forced to make a decision whether you want to be in the universal one-world economy or to step out of that one-world economy and do not take the mark of the beast. And so we are told by Jesus that we have our blessing if we're persecuted for righteousness. So we have our blessing because men are going to cast insults at us and persecute us and say all kinds of evil against us on account of Jesus Christ. And you notice that as the one world religion starts to take hold, not only here in America but around the world, that the name of Jesus just incites people to anger. The name of Jesus incites people to riot. The name of Jesus incites people to call in Christians hate mongers and fear mongers. And in fact, there are even buses now in America in certain cities that say Jesus and Abraham and Isaac and some of the Old Testament prophets all served God and or all served Allah. And of course we know that is not true. We know that is a lie, because Jesus did not serve Allah, and neither did Abraham, and neither did Isaac. And so I'm preparing you, brothers and sisters, for the time when persecution is coming, and it's coming rapidly to America. Liberty is being cut off. Well, in the dream I had this dream about a week ago or so. I was going up a gangplank to a large boat. It was like a cruiser, like you would take on the Caribbean Sea, where you're going from city to city, an ocean line cruiser. And it was a huge boat, hundreds and hundreds, you know, over 1,000 feet long. And it represented to me the church. The church is a big ark, the worldwide church, and even the American church. The Church of Jesus Christ here in America is a huge big ark. And I was going up the gangplank, and there was a line of people going up the plank, and there was some kind of a government official or some kind of a person who was screening people at the top of the plank. And as I got to the top of the gangplank, he demanded to see my papers, and so I pulled out a bunch of papers that were stapled together, and he looked all through those papers and eventually gave me the nod to go on in. And as I walked into the big ARC, the big cruiser, I looked around and people were being assigned rooms, and I had my guitar with me and I was getting ready. I felt like maybe to set up to play or set up to do a revival or some such thing as that. And so I walked into this room and there was already somebody in there that had taken that room before I got there. But then as I walked into what should have been a big praise center or big what we would call an auditorium in a church where there should have been praise and worship going on, there was an empty feeling. In fact, there was nobody in there. It was empty. I just felt this vacant feeling, this aura, this feeling in the air that there was nothing going on there, that it was vacant. In fact, the carpet was ripped in places and the carpet was torn up in places, and I could tell that the church and the auditorium where there should have been praise and worship had been emptied somehow and had been shut down, you might say shut down by force of what was coming in terms of persecution and in terms of a restriction on these people's desire and ability to gather together and to worship God. And so God, I think, was showing me that there was going to be great scrutiny and great persecution and a desire on the part of the authorities to scrutinize and eventually shut down that which we call the fellowship and that which we call the church. And so, you know, I have no idea what the time frame on this is. I have no idea how quickly this is going to happen, but I just know that God was showing me that persecution is coming. God was showing me that there's going to be great scrutiny on a part of those who are in control, to control fellowship and to control gathering of people here in the name of Jesus and in the name of God's kingdom. And so I just ask you to pray to keep the doors open, to keep the avenues of communication open, to keep the avenues of liberty open, so that we can gather together and fellowship together. I pray that you would pray with me to keep the avenues for radio broadcasts open, for television broadcasts open, for internet broadcasts open, in every way that the gospel can be preached, that you just stand strong with me and stand strong with people who out there who are speaking, like on Christian radio, Focus on the Family, American Family Radio, these big radio ministries that are getting the word not only the gospel out, but the word of political action, the word that the gospel needs to pervade the government and pervade government candidates for different offices and all this. So you just stand and keep praying, and as a group we can turn the tide and we can turn people back to the Lord here in America. But we have to have access to the airways, we have to have access to all the avenues of media, whether it's movies or internet or television, radio, or whatever it is. We have to have access to it, equal access, just as we are freely now allowed to go into church and to worship and fellowship as we so desire in church. Well, a second dream that was brought to me recently was by a brother who has a ministry out there, and he's a prophetic minister, and the Lord brought to him a dream, and in the dream the Statue of Liberty was up on a hill, and as he was standing at the bottom of the hill, a arm or a sword or something came along and it decapitated the Statue of Liberty, and the head fell off and it rolled down the hill and it rested at the bottom of his feet. And he said, "Lord, what do you mean?" The dream startled him and it woke him up, and so he said, "Lord, what do you mean by this dream?" And so he asked the Lord to show it to him again, so he went back to sleep, and later on that night the Lord showed him this dream again, and the same situation, the Statue of Liberty was up on a hill, it wasn't on Ellis Island as it is in real life. It was standing up on a hill, and he was standing at the bottom of the hill, and this time he saw that it was the hand of God. It was the hand of God that came and severed the Statue of Liberty, Lady Liberty's head, and that head fell off, and it came rolling down and rested at his feet again. And the Lord said to him, "This time I'm showing you that it is me that is being directed. It is me that is being directed to decapitate the Statue of Liberty, and it is coming from Capitol Hill, that Liberty is being decapitated from Capitol Hill." And so I want you to meditate on that Liberty is being decapitated from Capitol Hill. Meditate on that, pray about it, think about it, think about what God is saying here in the message that he is saying that is coming down from Capitol Hill, and it will infiltrate and take over the lives of every American man, woman, and child here in this nation. And in addition to that dream, this prophetic brother was given a scripture to go along with that. And if you have your Bible there, you can turn to Ezekiel 7. And this isn't a very pleasant scripture. It's not one that you're going to tickle people's ears with. It's not warm and fuzzy, and it's not one that we like to read. Ezekiel was, of course, a prophet to the nation of Israel, and he told them the words of the Lord over and over and over. He said, "You have to get straight. You have to repent of your wickedness." And of course, God sent Ezekiel, and he sent Isaiah, and he sent Jeremiah, and he sent all the minor prophets, and he said to Israel, "Turn back, turn back, turn back from your wicked ways." And eventually, of course, we know the rest of the story. If you studied your Bible at all, you know that eventually Israel was taken captive. First, the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes, were taken captive by the Assyrians, and the 2 southern tribes were taken captive by the Babylonians, and eventually they took all of the people off, the people of Israel off, and they were in captivity for 70 years before they were able to come back to their home country and back to Jerusalem. And so God has given us a warning through these dreams. God is showing us through these dreams that danger is on the horizon as it comes to America, and to be in prayer about this. Brothers and sisters, this is not a light word. This is not an easy word to give, and yet I feel duty-bound and obligated to give it, just to prepare us in some way that we will know what God has in store for us. Well, in chapter 7 of Ezekiel, verse 1, this is a scripture that was given to the brother as he had the dream about the Statue of Liberty. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end, the end is coming on the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you, and I shall send my anger against you. I shall judge you according to your ways, and I shall bring all your abominations upon you. For my eye will have no pity on you, nor shall I spare you, but I shall bring you your ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" Verse 5, "Thus says the Lord God, a disaster, unique disaster, behold, it is coming. An end is coming, the end has come. It has awakened against you, behold, it has come. Your doom has come to you, O inhabitant of the land. The time has come, the day is near, tumult rather than joyful shouting on the mountains. Now I will shortly pour out my wrath on you, and spend my anger against you, and judge you according to your ways, and bring on you all your abominations. And my eye shall show no pity, nor will I spare. I will repay you according to your ways, while your abominations are in your midst. Then you will know that I, the Lord, do the smiting." Well, I'm going to jump over then to verse 14. "They have blown the trumpet and made everything ready, but no one is going to the battle, for my wrath is against all their multitude. The sword is outside, and the plague and famine are within. He who is in the field will die by the swords. Famine and plague will also consume those in the city. Even when their survivors escape, they will be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, each over his own iniquity." And so I'm going to jump on down to verse 21, and of course we know that America is financially over a barrel right now. America, the seeds that we've sown the last 40 or 50 years have been gradually starting to take root, and now the full harvest of the seeds that we've sown, where we've shipped all of our, not all, but a great deal of our manufacturing overseas, and we've shipped a lot of our industry, our textile, our steel, our clothing, and our even our food to a great degree has been shipped overseas, and we're not a net food producer nation anymore. And so all of these things that we've done in the name of trying to shop the world for the cheapest labor, shop the world for the best value in labor, is now coming home to roost for us. So we are really struggling with our economy, and these things have, this debt-driven economy is now starting to come home to roost. And of course, we know just recently our Secretary of State was over in China, one of our enemy nations to a great degree, was over there begging them to continue to buy American Treasury notes and continue to take our IOUs. And so verse 21 speaks to that here in Ezekiel 7:21, "And I shall give it into the hands of the foreigners as plunder, and to the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they will profane it. I shall also turn my face from them, and they will profane my secret place. Then robbers will enter and profane it. Make the chain," that is the chain of bondage, the chain of captivity, "make the chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence." I believe that speaks of abortion right there. The land is full of bloody crimes. That is one of the things that God hates, is shedding the blood of the innocents. And until we stop this continual shedding of innocent blood, this continual parade of abortions and murder of the innocents, we are going to be subject to God's wrath, and we're going to be reaping the harvest of the blood of the innocents that we have shed. Verse 23 again, "Make the chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Therefore I shall bring the worst of the nations, and they will possess their houses. I shall also make the pride of the strong ones cease, and their holy places will be profaned. When anguish comes, they will seek peace, but there will be none. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be added to rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will be lost from the priest, and the counsel from the elders. The king will mourn, the prince will be clothed with horror, and the hands of the people of the land will tremble. According to their conduct I shall deal with them, and by their judgments I shall judge them, and they will know that I am the Lord." Well, brothers and sisters, there's only one way out of this situation, and we've got to get on our knees, and we have to pray to Jesus. We have to get on our knees, and we have to pray for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We have to pray for our leaders, our political leaders. We have to pray for our church leaders, for those in the house of the Lord. Judgment begins with those of us in the house of the Lord. And so I just ask you, brothers and sisters, to pray with me. Pray for this ministry. Pray for our leaders across this land, that God's hand would relent, that God would relent, that he would show mercy, that we cry out for mercy, and that he would withhold his judgment on this land. This is a heavy word of judgment, I know, and yet God is pushed to the point where he cannot tolerate the shedding blood of the innocents. He cannot tolerate the immoral depravity and just the disregard of his word and disregard of who he is. And so I just pray that many who hear my voice would be in prayer. Many would cry out to him. Cry out to him. And if you don't know Jesus, the time is growing short. If you don't know Jesus, it's time to turn your life over to him. It's time to open up your heart and receive him. Say, "Jesus, I want you to take over. Jesus, come into my heart and into my life and take over. I confess my sins. I repent of my sins. And I want to turn to you, Lord. I want to turn to you, Jesus, because I don't know if there's any other way. I don't know that there's any other way that I can save me. But Jesus can save you. He says he can, he does, and he will. And so I just ask you to accept him into your heart and into your life today. And I thank you for listening today. God bless you. We'll see you next week.